Let's get into the Word. Let me ask you some questions as we look at this passage. Have you ever had a moment, experienced a moment where you felt like you weren't going anywhere? I mean, you felt like the direction of your life is undetermined. And maybe that happened, you're wide awake in bed, others are asleep, and or maybe you're driving, not paying attention, you're just wondering, where am I headed? Where am I headed in my life? Have I missed the perfect will of God? Maybe it's said in a way like, I've spent all my life pursuing a goal and now I'm wondering, was it worth it? You know, I feel like a huge wheel. There's a hamster inside, a cage. I feel like I'm that hamster running on that big wheel. I'm like on a treadmill, running, 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 and not moving an inch, not moving an inch. It's like, you know, no one really knows me. No one really cares about me. I'm overlooked. I'm underpaid. I'm not even needed around here. So what difference does my life make? I think this passage that we're looking at has to be one of the best, if not the best, of God's responses to these statements from the heart. And here's what we're going to do this morning. We don't have time to go through every verse, you know, like I normally do. And we're going to take a section out of it, but we're going to look at this whole chapter deductively. It means we're going to just take a swift swipe through it out here and then come in and look at a few verses 13 through 18. So let me paint the picture of what's happening in this whole chapter of Psalm 139. First of all, we see in verses 1 through 6 that God knows us inside and out. He knows us. There's a word for that. It means He is omniscient, all-knowing, omniscience, omniscient. Look at verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. It's like, Lord, You know me when I'm lying down. You know me when I'm not going anywhere. You know me when I'm awake. You know me when I'm moving. Look at the last part of verse 2. Thou understandest my thought afar off. It's like, even before I think about it, Lord, You know my thoughts. You know my heart. And Lord, You know my hidden fears, my frustrations. You know my motives. You know my dreams. And You know my past and present and future. You know what that means? That means God knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? Yeah, somebody says, well, you know, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. He knows your heart. And I would say He knows what you really mean. You know, people might misunderstand us, but not God. God doesn't misunderstand us. He knows our heart. Look at verse 3. Thou compassest my path. It's like that word compass means you search out, you discern, you scrutinize the direction of my life. You are very much aware of where I am headed. It says, in my lying down, that's when I'm not headed anywhere. You're acquainted with all my way. My way is my philosophy of life. The bottom line of why I'm doing what I'm doing. You're acquainted with that. And you know about every one of my choices and why I made them and who talked me into them and how I was influenced. Look at verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. My, even before I speak, Lord, You know the word in my tongue. Now notice it doesn't say, but for there is not a word on my tongue. Do you notice that? That word in is a key word. There is not a word in my tongue. And the thought is, inside my tongue, what's behind what I'm saying? One writer put it this way, God has penetrated past our best foot forward. He has such a grasp on each one of us on a programming level that he knows precisely what we will say and what we will do next, as if it had already been uttered or performed. Now look at verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before. That word beset means he's hemmed me in. Hemmed me in. He scrutinized me. It means, Lord, you have surrounded me with your presence. You know my past, and you know my presence, and you know my future. And it says, and laid thine hand upon me. You protect me. You care for me. Look at verse 6. Look at his response to this. This is the so what of those verses. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. It's like, God, I cannot even pretend to understand all of this. Lord, this is overwhelming to me. This is beyond me. I mean, Lord, you're an omniscient God, and I simply have to believe it. So here's the thought. God knows us inside and out, and he's there for us. Amen? Now, verses 7 through 10, the thought is God is always there. He's everywhere. God is omnipresent. Look at verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. It's like, Lord, everywhere I go, you are there. Darkness and light we'll see. Anytime I need you, you see me all the time. Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. It's like, there's no way I can escape from God, the presence of God. I can't hide from him. You know what that means? God knows when I'm pretending and when I'm not. He knows when I'm a hypocrite and when I'm not. There's no place on the planet of this earth where I can hide from God. Now, how do I take this? How do we respond to this? Well, we could take it two ways. Number one, it could speak of total exposure. We can hide from men, but we can't hide from God. God sees that. He knows our habits and what we do when no one is looking, and therefore we must always be transparent. We must always be willing to repent. Why? Because he knows anyway. So we can look at it from the perspective of total exposure or total blessings. Total blessings. God's determined to bless us. He's determined to be involved in our lives. When I was studying this, I thought of Proverbs chapter 9, talking about wisdom, which is Christ personified. Proverbs 9, it says, verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. She's killed her beasts. She's mingled her wine. She has furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest place of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wandereth or lacketh understanding, she saith, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I've mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go on the way of understanding. It's like wisdom or Christ is, or God the Father is more willing to embrace us and to give us wisdom than we're willing to be embraced and to have wisdom. Now, verses 13 through 18. God made every part of me for a purpose. And what does that mean? That means he is all powerful. Omnipotent is the word for that. Omnipotent. Omni means all potent, all powerful. Now we're going to get more into this. This is, to me, this study has been just exciting for me this week. Thinking about the sovereignty of God. This has really, really, really impacted me. Verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. What's that talking about? You've possessed my reins. Are you listening? I see young people I talked to before the service talking, laughing. That doesn't mean you're taking notes and getting a blessing out of it, by the way. It means there's something else going on. Oh, yes, I really appreciate this reins thing. Anyway, let me get back to this. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. It's like you've created, you have formed, you have held as possession my reins. What's the reins? Reins is a word for moral constitution, or heart, or soul, or conscience. And then he says, you've covered me in my mother's womb. Covered. Interesting word. Very powerful word in the Hebrew. It means you've woven me together. You've shaped me. You have knit me together like a weaver's womb, like the shuttle of the weaver's loom, or what do you call that? You've covered me. You've woven me together in my mother's womb. That's speaking about the abdomen. That's we're talking about the time of pregnancy. You've covered me. You've woven me in what? What? Job answers that. Job 10:11. He says, thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and you fenced me with bones and sinews. So let me get into this detail. Let me tell you something that's really overwhelming to me, and I think ought to be overwhelming to us. I mean, you think about the evolutionists saying, oh yeah, we've evolved from a monkey and all the way back to a paperclip, and you know, two paperclips collided, boom, you got man. It's very stupid, and it's a theory. It's not fact. It's a theory that leaves God out. And let me tell you why. Let me just paint a picture for you. Did you know that we are made up of cells? Made up of cells. And in those cells you have DNA molecules. And each cell has a DNA molecule that contains all the needed information to develop, to live, to reproduce. That DNA molecule, it's like a helix, two lines connecting. That determines our sex. That determines our color of skin, our intellect, all the instructions of our body. And these instructions are passed down from parents to their children. So how many of them are there in our body? Well, how many cells? There's not very many. I'd say 100 trillion cells, give or take several trillion. All right? And then we're made of bones and sinews. That's ligaments and muscles and our skeleton. Did you know when you're born, you have 300 bones? As you grow, your structure becomes made of like 206 bones. And they're anchored firmly to muscles. Now, why bones and sinews? Well, God created them to shield the vital organs of the body with sizes and shapes that you and I never dreamed of. Here's the thought. Did you know bones can take up to 20,000 pounds of pressure per square inch? That's 10 tons of pressure per square inch. You know, you have 230 movable and semi-movable joints. And you imagine 600 odd muscles designed like cables who pull muscles and bones together, making motion possible. And each muscle interrelated that so that one contraction usually involves many others. And not only that, God's given us a circulatory system. Blood vessels. And all through this maze of muscles and bones, there's 600,000 miles of tubing. And that tubing carries blood to every part of our body. 600,000 miles. All of that pumped through the body by the heart. And the heart pumps so steadily and powerfully that in one single day it pushes 10 pints of blood in the average adult body through more than 1,000 complete circuits. Actually pumping 5,000 to 6,000 quarts of blood through your body a day. 5,000 to 6,000 quarts. Well, the length of the human blood vessel is that it circles the globe 2.5 times. That many miles. That's your circulatory system. In 24 hours, the blood in the body travels a total of 12,000 miles. 4 times the width of North America. And all of it centering around the heart and the aorta, You know the aorta is the largest artery of the body. It's almost the diameter of a garden hose. And enough pressure, if you cut it off, to shoot blood 300 feet in distance. From here to almost the back of the auditorium. And then you got the little ones, the capillaries. They're so small, it takes 10 of them to equal the thickness of a human hair. And a drop of blood contains 250 million cells. And red blood cells and white blood cells. You get the red blood cells are about 7 micrometer in diameter. And we give birth to over 200 billion red cells every day. It takes 20 seconds for a red cell to circulate the whole body. What's the job? The job of red cells is to transport oxygen from the lungs to all the tissues of the body, or to take away carbon dioxide. And how many blood cells do we have? Well, not very many. 2.5 trillion, give or take a few trillion. Red blood cells at any moment, 2.5 trillion. And to maintain this number, to keep that number 2.5 trillion, about 2.5 million new ones need to be produced every second by your bone marrow. That's like a new population of the whole metro Denver, metro area of Denver, every second. Are you with me? Are you overwhelmed with me? Now, the blood cells, you got white blood cells. They protect the body against infection of foreign invaders. They are produced in the marrow of the bone. By the way, the white blood cells are somewhat rebels. If I have an infection in my finger, you know, they don't go the normal route through all the circulatory system. They just cross over everything. They don't mess around with traveling the route. That's like some of our driving, all right? They just, and they go right to it. You know, that's like the body of Christ, by the way. I don't want to get on a tangent here. The body of Christ ought to be that way. When one is suffering, boom, we all go there. And they protect the body from infection and foreign invaders. Then you have in the cells the platelets. These are tiny blood cells that help your body form clots when bleeding. And so if one of your vessels gets damaged, it sends out signals, beep, 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 that's picked up by the platelets. And these platelets rush to the site of damage, and they form a plug or clot, and they repair the damage. So they're produced, by the way, at the rate of 100 billion per day. Platelets. Well, that's not all. You're getting the thought that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our nervous system, you know, pulling the trigger to all of these cells and chromosomes and DNA and right and red and white blood cells and platelets, pulling the trigger of all the bones and muscles, is a very complex nervous system that's very thoroughly and carefully covered and surrounded by a spinal cord. And the spinal cord is a very intricate and complicated system that networks and coordinates through a 3-pound brain and a huge amount of messages that move as fast, messages move as fast as 350 feet per second. Now you say, well, so what? You take an electronic computer designed to perform as efficiently as our brain. And to put all that together would occupy a space as big as a skyscraper. Our brain has over 100 million nerve cells. And oh, by the way, did you know our brains only use about 4% of its brain cells and the other 96% are kept in store? Are you overwhelmed yet? Not to mention the eye. That contains 125 million rods. These are thin cylindrical cells. And all of these rods are packed closely between some 5 million more rounded or spherical cones, which reflect black and white colors. Oh, by the way, our eyes are so sensitive, they can detect light as feeble as 100 trillionth of a watt. Don't forget the skin. The human skin contains 45 miles of nerves. Human skin. A square inch of your skin consists of 1,300 nerve cells. A square inch of your skin. In one square inch of skin, there are 3 million cells and 3 yards of blood vessels. Now go to verse 14. I will praise thee For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise thee. It's like I'm going to make praise. Actually, the word praise carries the idea of confession. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm awesomely, honorably, and differently and distinctly made. Notice he says, marvelous are thy works. Wonderfully, differently, distinctly, extraordinarily are your deeds and all of your accomplishments in my life. That word works, by the way, is the same word in the Hebrew used to create the heavens and the earth. In the book of Psalms, the works of God are used over and over again as to give us confidence in His power and His authority as being the only one worthy to receive worship. Notice how he ends that. He says, and that my soul knoweth right well. It's like he says, and I am fully aware of this. I know this full well. I am totally, completely, fully aware of the fact that you made me, just as I am, and you made me unlike anyone else in the universe. I am unique. I am matchless. I am one of a kind. I am irreplaceable. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And as a result of that, Lord, I will offer you worship. I will give thanks to you, and I will make confession unto you. It gets better. Look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. My substance. There's a Hebrew word for bones, frame, limbs, skeletal. It was not hid from you. It's not concealed from you. You watched. You were carefully observed. When I was made in secret. The thought is, when I was brought forth, carefully constructed in a secret and hidden place. In a place where people could not watch me. Oh, I would say, wow, we got MRIs and sonograms and x-rays to see what's already been made. But we're not able to see the actual construction of all of these unique parts of our body. Notice it says, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Curiously wrought is a word which means like metals, beaten and formed and fashioned. Like a fabric made of various colors and like embroidery and variegated and skillfully woven together. In the lowest parts of the earth, the hidden place of the earth, speaking of the womb, it's like the reddish soil from which Adam's body was made, the darkness of the womb. Thine eyes, verse 16, did see my substance, yet being unperfect. It's like you saw me when I was under construction. You saw me when I was developing. You saw me when I was being put together in the womb. You saw my substance, my unformed body. A prenatal state, an embryonic state. And in thy book, all my members were written. You had my birth certificate signed in your book. Even while I was unformed. It's in my scroll. All of these things described, recorded, registered, engraved, ordered by writing. A full recording and an accounting was made. Composed like a musical work. The aorta, the largest artery in the body is, I mean, the huge garden hose, all the cells, the chromosomes, the DNA, the muscles, the bones, the blood vessels, the nervous system, the brain. The IQ, the lungs, all of them put together by an omnipotent God who, like a weaver, works in the dark, a picture of what goes on in the womb. Yet being unperfect, it means when I didn't exist. Before I was even put in a womb. You understand that? It's like Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 1:5, God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Whoa, the implications there. You don't mess with the womb. You don't mess with the fetus. You don't mess with the child in the womb. As God is saying, before I was even put into the womb, God said, Craig Scott, you're going to have a certain color of eyes. You're going to have a certain height. You're going to have a certain IQ. your nose is going to look a certain way. Oh, and by the way, let me talk about your knees and your back and your vertebrae. Let me talk about your cheek structure. Let me talk about your ears. Notice he says, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God, Lord, you wrote down everything about me. Actually, you wrote down in continuance every day of my life. Even before a single day was passed. Before I was conceived in the womb. You knew what would be going on in my life, in my teens, in my 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, 90s. You knew what would be going on. It's scripted. Before I was conceived in the womb. And there's a purpose for that. Notice his response. I love this. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. How precious are your thoughts to me. Lord, you made me for a purpose. I like what Spurgeon said. He cried, how costly, how valued are thy thoughts. How dear to me is thy perpetual, continuous attention. He says he thinks upon God's thoughts with delight. The more of them, the better. He's pleased. How great is the sum of them, Lord. You care about me. You have good thoughts about me. You love me. You're all for me. He says, oh God, exclamation point. How great is the sum of them, exclamation point. Spurgeon said, when we remember that God thought upon us from old eternity, continues to think upon us at every moment, and will think of us when time shall be no more, we may well exclaim, how great is the sum. Isaiah said this, Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, God says, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's like, don't try to figure it out. Just praise him. Just praise him. He says, he goes on. He says, verse 18, if I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Again, Spurgeon said, an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and righteous God must have countless thoughts, and they would outnumber the grains of the sand. For sand is an image of countless and innumerable. You can't number. So, Lord, you're omnipotent. You made every cell, you made every bone, you made every nerve, every part of my nervous system, color my eyes, my ears. You made them to stick out, to stick in. You made my nose long, short, stubby. You made me bald, you made me. So what's the next thing? Verses 19 through 22, I will be loyal to God's justice or justness. Look at verse 19. He says, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against me, against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. That's a perfect hatred we know nothing about, by the way. Am grieved. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? It's like, grieves me when people take a stand against you, Lord, and your word. I hate them with a perfect hatred, which I know nothing about. I count them mine enemies. So what? Well, we're not done. We've got a while. There's some outlines I saw that were really good. And I'll just share these and you can get my notes later. Verses 1 through 6, I have a confidant who knows me completely. Verses 7 through 13, I have a companion who never leaves me. Verses 14 through 16, I have a creator that custom made me. And verses 17 and 18, I have a champion who always thinks about me. And verses 19 to 24, I have a choice to let him cleanse me. And we'll look at that next week. We'll touch it briefly today. Here's another outline. Verses 1 through 6, God knows how we are. Verses 7 through 12, God knows where we are. Verses 13 through 18, God knows what we are. Well, He made us. And verses 19 through 24, God knows what we should be. How do I live this out? What does this look like in my life? How's this view of God going to play out in my lifestyle? Well, understand this. When God made you, He didn't make junk. When God formed you, your back, your knees, shoulder, heart, lungs, it was not an accident. God didn't make a mistake. He knew what He was doing. Hey, let me ask you a question. When you look in the mirror, you observe yourself. What do you see? You observe your bone structure. You look at your forehead. You look at your facial features. You may focus on your nose or your ears, your cheeks, your defects. Is there anything you would change if you had the power to do so? Think with me. Think with me. Would you change anything? I mean, you look at men whose ears stick out too far. You think, man, they look so out of style. They look so ugly. They cover their ears. You may think about it, not just style. Maybe they've never learned to accept themselves the way God made their ears. Are you with me? People wear gloves to cover the color of their skin. You ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tata? She was in a diving accident in 1967. It left her a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. Quadriplegic. Only turned her head. Well, today, years later, she's an internationally known mouth artist. She can paint with her mouth. A talented vocalist, a radio host. She has authored 17 books. She's an advocate for disabled persons worldwide. And here's what she said, I quote her. She said, God is more concerned with conforming me to the likeness of His Son than leaving me in my comfort zones. God is more interested in inward qualities than outward circumstances. Things like refining my faith. He's interested in humbling my faith. He's interested in cleaning up my thought life. He's interested in strengthening my character. Did you know that God knows you? And did you know you can know Him? And when God made you, did you know He made you with a definite plan in His mind? He knows you. You can know Him. God made you. You can live for Him. When God constructed you, He did so with a definite plan in mind. You can regret the fact that you're bent over when you walk. Not when you understand God's plan for your life. You can regret the fact that your eyesight is going. Not when you understand God's plan for your life and the way God made you. You can understand the fact that your knees are bad, your legs are bad, your heart is bad. You're blaming genetics. You're blaming your parents. Let me tell you something. God knew what He was doing when He made you. And you know, because of that, you can be transparent with God. And since God made you and since God constructed you, you can be open and honest with Him. Would you consider this? Would you consider saying to God, Dear Father, I accept the fact that You are my designer. And I embrace the fact that You made me the way I am with a special purpose in mind. And because of that, I am surrendering my life and my heart to You to be Your chosen vessel. Oh my. Talking with men this morning, I mentioned this last week. You look at the 400 greatest things done in the history of mankind. A survey was taken, the 400 greatest things done. They listed them, and then they put beside them the age of the person that accomplished them. The age group in decades. Well, for those 60 in their 60s, it was like 30, I don't have the exact thing, but 35%. For those in their 70s and 80s and up, is another 23%. Of the greatest things done in the history of man. Hey, how about 40s and under, the millennial crowd? 1% of the greatest things ever done in the history of man, done by that age group. Well, I'm going to tell you what that does to me. That tells me, you know, God ain't done with me. I'm coming into the most fruitful time of my life and my ministry. Amen. Amen. And when God made me, He did it for a purpose. It doesn't matter how I walk. It doesn't matter the pain. It doesn't matter what. God knows what He did. And when He made Craig Scott and He made you, He didn't make junk. And He wants us to bring glory and honor to Him. It's like, Lord, would you please investigate my heart? Would you please investigate my motives and my mind? And Lord, in my thinking and my heart, would you see if there's anything in me that discredits you? As my knowing, all-knowing, everywhere present, all-powerful God. Anything in my thinking that discredits you? And Lord, would you take my life? And would you please direct my life in such a way that pleases you? Look at David's solution. Verse 23. I'm going to submit to God's examination in my life. Look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And I will submit to God's eternal plan for my life and lead me in the way everlasting. Can that be your prayer today? We understand, listen to me, you don't have to try to impress your peers. God made you for a purpose. Young people, you don't have to accept the values that your peers place on the way you look and what it means to be cool and how to dress. And God made you. He has a purpose for you. Accept God's values. Hey, you don't have to accept the values that man has put on your finances, on your parentage, on your abilities, on your IQ, on your body. God made you for a purpose. And that purpose is to yield to Him and to submit to Him and to be used of Him. To embrace His purpose. I will submit to God's eternal plan for my life. Lead me in the way everlasting. Father, thank You for Your word. What a blessed thing, Lord, to know that You know everything about us. You made us. And You have good intentions for us. Lord, I thank You that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We will praise You and submit to Your direction in our lives.